God does not answer the prayers of presumptuous people who do not even believe their own prayers. He is not under obligation to answer anyone, especially those who seriously doubt his ability to answer prayer. This is a quote coming to you from the Bible Exposition Commentary. In this broadcast, we are continuing our new series based on the theme, Preparing for Jesus' Coming. We will continue our study in expository fashion with the book of James. In this particular broadcast, we will use as our main text, James 1:7-8, which says, "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Now, just to give you a background of what we covered in past podcasts, James 1:5-6 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." What James is saying here is this: God stands ready and willing to give away wisdom for free, without finding fault, to all who ask. But you must ask in faith. You must pray in faith. You must pray without any doubt in your heart, believing that God is trustworthy. You must have a believing heart that trusts God to keep his promises and expects him to answer your prayer of faith. You must not allow doubts or an unbelieving heart to infect your prayers. The believer who fails to live his life in faith and chooses to pray with an unbelieving heart is tossed to and fro by every wind of change. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Then James went on in verse 7, he made a very startling statement. He said this: "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." Let not that man think or suppose or expect or imagine that he will receive anything from the Lord. Now, James was not just talking about wisdom here, but he said, not just wisdom, but anything of the Lord. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Stop and think for a minute what he's saying here. We are a desperate, dependent people. We need the Lord, and we need his help at all times and in every situation. Imagine not being able to receive his help. But that is what happens when you do not ask in faith. John Trapp's commentary said, "He that prayeth doubtingly shuts heaven's gates against his own prayers." The Dakes Annotated Bible says, "It is as certain that a doubtful man will not get an answer as it is that the man of faith will get an answer. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." Let not that man. Who is that man that James is talking about here? He's talking about the distrustful, shifting, unsettled person. He's talking about the faithless person, the one that is lacking faith, that has nothing to receive from God with. This, he's talking about the man that prays having no faith, where he can get no answer. He sees God's way as only one of many options. He spends his life being driven back and forth, but by whatever wind blows the strongest. He continues to shop around for sources of wisdom contrary to God. This is that man that James said, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You see, God cares deeply that his children trust him exclusively. He wants to be our first and our final stop. If you don't trust him exclusively, you will receive no wisdom from him at all. If you don't trust him exclusively, you will receive nothing from him at all. Barnes' note said, that will account sufficiently for the fact that there are so many prayers unanswered, that we so frequently go to the throne of grace and are sent empty away. A man that goes to God in such a state of mind should not expect to receive any favor. This message is so important that I'm bringing to you today. It is not God's will that there are so many prayers that are unanswered, and that we frequently go to the throne of grace and we're sent empty away. That's not God's will. And James is dealing with it here in James 1:7-8. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Then he goes on to say in verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He introduces this concept of a double-minded man. What did he mean by that? Well, let me explain. First of all, he's talking about a double-souled or two-souled man, a man that seemingly has two souls. It's as though one soul is declaring, I believe, and the other soul is shouting out, I don't believe, I don't believe. A double-minded man is also a man of no fixed or decided purpose. He wavers and he's uncertain about God. He doesn't know his character, he doesn't know his ways, so he becomes uncertain about God. He partly believes and partly disbelieves God. He debates whether he can trust him. And he lacks certainty because he's a man of no fixed or decided purpose. Thirdly, this double-minded man is one that's not fully given over to God. He's divided, usually between God and the world. He has divided loyalties. He has a half-hearted allegiance. It's like he has two hearts, one for God and one for something else. You see, this will affect your prayer life when this is going on in your heart, where you have one heart for God and one for something else. This double-minded man is divided between God and the world. He wants to secure both worlds. He's double-minded. Also, or lastly, the double-minded man has no settled principles to guide his life. He's controlled by passion, influenced by popular feeling. We see that going on today in the church. He's inclined to one opinion now, and then another time he's inclined to another opinion. He's distracted. Boy, do we see that going on today. Christians that are distracted and divided in their thoughts. This double-minded man floats between two different opinions. The reason being is because he's not settled in the truth. Not doesn't know the word of God. Is not settled in the word of God. And so his mind is tossed to and fro with various ideas. Adam Clark said a man of this character is continually distracted. He will neither let earth nor heaven go, and yet he can have but one. A double-minded man, James went on to explain, he is unstable in all his ways. This double-souled man, this man of no fixed or decided purpose, this one that's not fully given over to God, or he's divided between God and the world, and he has no settled principles to guide his life. This double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What James was describing here, he was saying the man who doubts the word, he ends up praying in unbelief. And he's described as being unstable and double-minded. There's no stability in him. And the slightest problem comes along and causes him to stumble and fall. And we're seeing many fall today because they have no stability. They're double-minded. And it's affecting their prayer life, of course, where they pray in unbelief. This instability is apparent when a person prays. When you have this instability going on inside of you, it will come out in your prayers. In all his ways, he's unstable in all his ways, in all that he does. There's this indecisiveness. You can't make up your mind. You can't decide whether it be in your personal life, your business life, your social life, your spiritual life. It negates all effectiveness. You can't make up your mind. You're double-minded, unstable in all his ways, in all he does, in all his ways. This is a Hebraism, and it stands for in all his counsels, purposes, actions, thoughts, deeds. Unstable in respect to everything. It affects your whole life when you're double-minded. You can't decide between God and the world. Stability and firmness can't be expected on any subject. You're confused in your mind, restless in your thoughts. We see this going on today. Many are having mental issues, and it all stems with double-mindedness. You can't make up your mind between God and the world. Restless in your thoughts, divided in your thoughts between two different ways and opinions. Divided between God and the world. Unsettled in your designs and intentions. Uncertain in your opinions of things. You don't know who to believe. You can't even come to a conclusion on truth. Inconstant in petitions. Very variable in your actions. Always changing. Ever shifting and moving. The precept Austin said this. His fickle and vacillating attitude in the realm of faith projects itself into all the areas of his life, making him unreliable in all of his dealings. The man who does not trust God cannot be trusted by men. There is a close connection between the way a man prays and the way he lives. Well, let me say that again. There is a close connection between the way a man prays and the way he lives. If you live a double-minded life, then you're going to pray that way. But if you live a life where you are dedicated to Jesus, you are single-minded, you are on fire for God, then it will reflect in your prayers. William Burkett's expository notes said this, learn hence that whilst men's minds are divided between God and their lusts, they must necessarily lead very anxious, uncertain, and unstable lives, always fluctuating in great anxiety and uncertainty. For he is always at odds with himself and in perpetual variance with his own reason. When men's minds are double, their ways must necessarily be unstable. Many are leading very anxious, uncertain, and unstable lives, and it all goes back to being double-minded. You can't make up your mind between God and the world. And what is the answer to this? Well, James gives it to us. In James 4:8, he says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Purify your hearts. He's talking about your inner thoughts, your motives, your desires, you double-minded. Those who love God and the world at the same time. This is an injunction for the double-minded right here. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. This is the answer to double-mindedness with its wavering loyalties, indecision, divided interests, and impurity. What James is saying here is he's calling for a rededication of your whole personality to Christ. It's time to rededicate your life to the Lord. Get rid of double-mindedness. Purify your hearts today. The heart represents your motives and desires. Purify your heart through confession and forsaking sin. When you're double-minded, you need to confess mixed motives. Purify your heart. Rededicate your life to the Lord. Tell the Lord, no more. No more of this mess, this indecision, this double-mindedness. I'm going to serve you and you alone. Paul, in closing, Paul gave us the answer here as well. He told us to keep our affections focused on things above. Colossians 3, 1-2 says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. This is your answer today. Do you want to see your prayers answered? Do you want to pray in faith and please God? Then purify your heart today of any and all double-mindedness. Rededicate your whole life to the Lord and tell him from this day forward, my affections are on you and you alone, not on things on the earth. Our time is up for today's broadcast, but I encourage you, stay tuned for our next teaching as we continue our study of the theme, Preparing for Jesus' Coming. This is Connie Giordano with Walking in Truth Ministry, praying that you will walk in the truth every day of your life. In Jesus' name, amen.